With Facebook customer data on the loose, the social media company could find itself fighting off new government limits. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Facebook stock has fallen 16% since the news broke that a third-party firm had apparently used Facebook customer data to help the Trump campaign in a sketchy way. In early trading this morning, though, the stock is up 3.6%. This after Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg said the scandal over loose customer data has not hurt its business in a material way, but he did say a whole lot of Facebook users had their data shared inappropriately with a third party, Cambridge Analytica.
What we did was basically constructed what the maximum possible friend list is that people could have had, and that's where we came up with this $87 million.
The Facebook CEO has now agreed to testify on Capitol Hill. Some in Congress are looking to European-style data privacy rules. Let's bring in my Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand from the UK. Hi, Anu.
Hi, David.
So we've been covering this for months, if not years, but remind us about some of these EU rules that will apply to the social media companies.
Well, companies have to tell people what data they're taking, and they also have to get their consent. Now, users can also ask for copies of their personal information. That has to be provided free of charge. You have to get a response within a month. You can ask for personal data to be erased. And most importantly, this is all backed up by fines. The new regulations would forbid companies from actually processing lots of data based on things like race and ethnicity and political opinion. And that obviously has big implications for ad targeting.
Now, Facebook has no choice but to comply from the 25th of May in the EU. That'll be the law. But speaking to Reuters, the Facebook CEO said Facebook's already been doing, quote, the vast majority of what the EU rules require, but he was not prepared to commit to putting the EU rules in place for U.S. users or for the rest of the world.
That's right. That's what Reuters was reporting. And then we had an update from TechCrunch saying that they had had a Facebook spokesperson tell them that Facebook does plan to comply with GDPR data privacy rules around the world. That story, which we have not yet been able to independently confirm with Facebook, though we have reached out to them, that would seem to suggest that Facebook intends to actually give those European protections around the world. We just don't have the detail on this.
All right. So to add to our 2018 alphabet soup, GDPR, it's General Data
Protection Regulation
in the EU. All right. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in the UK. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Now, tomorrow, the U.S. employment and unemployment situation for March comes out. Here is Diane Swong, chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. Hey, Diane.
Good morning.
So the big jobs report is tomorrow. What's your view?
Well, before we talk about that, how was your March? How was the weather in March? How did you enjoy your March?
It was 56 days long. I dug out like 16 times. Why do you ask?
Well, I ask because, in fact, snowfall was twice as much in March as usual across the country, and that's going to affect our employment report. The data is seasonally adjusted, so all that construction activity that was supposed to start won't be starting in the month of March. A lot of planes are disrupted. A lot of hotels are disrupted. A lot of retail was disrupted because people couldn't get from point A to point B, and they literally couldn't get to work. That will suppress the overall numbers, but not change the overall view of the economy, and that is that the unemployment rate should tick down a bit to 4%. And most importantly, no matter what the wage number says, I actually think it will show an acceleration, in part because of the wacky weather. But wages are really starting to accelerate.
Economist Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton. At the moment, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 164 points, 0.7%. The S&P 500 up 0.4%. The NASDAQ Composite up 0.6%. As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We feel it's important work that we're already doing, and with your help, we will do more of it. We're counting on you to partner with us so that we can grow and keep getting better, especially now when it's increasingly difficult to cut through the media clutter and bring objective, trustworthy reporting front and center. For as little as $5 a month, consider signing up as a Marketplace investor and support independent public service journalism. The payoff comes in knowing that you're helping keeping people informed about economic forces that affect our lives. If you could, donate today at marketplace.org. Thank you. A key story this morning is the Trump administration's newly announced intention to work with governors to use the National Guard to beef up border security. Meanwhile, the U.S. unemployment rate is hovering just above 4%, and employers increasingly complain of worker shortages. So, how does reducing the number of immigrant workers affect the labor market? From our bureau in Portland, Oregon, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Portland Parks and Rec held a Welcome to Immigrants and Refugees event recently. Manager Art Hendricks says with unemployment low, he's always on the lookout for new recruits to the department's workforce.
A significant portion are immigrants. Many of the people have a tremendous amount of skills.
Immigrants, both documented and undocumented, make up 17% of the U.S. workforce now, up from 13% in 2000. Economist Aparna Matter at the American Enterprise Institute says reducing immigration will starve the economy of workers.
Baby boomers retiring is creating this deep hole in the workforce. We're not seeing a huge amount of native workers entering the economy. And I think that's a big reason why we're seeing the sudden demand for immigrants.
She says they're filling jobs in construction, healthcare, high tech. On average, they're younger than American-born workers and could help meet the country's labor needs for decades to come. Lynn Steven is an expert on immigration at the University of Oregon. She says the Trump administration's actions are driving away high-skilled workers from Latin America.
Those are people who have choices. They might migrate to Spain or Italy, where there are other options, or Canada.
Meanwhile, President Trump has moved to shut down DACA, which grants work permission to so-called dreamers brought here as children. If those dreamers go underground or leave the U.S., their economic contributions could be lost, including the farm business that Anna and her husband are building in Eugene, Oregon.
So we have calves, goats, and chickens, and farm fresh eggs.
Anna was born in El Salvador and is now a U.S. citizen. Her husband's from Mexico and has DACA. She asked that we only use her first name to avoid immigration problems.
Since he got DACA, we could actually go further with our business. We're about to buy our first home.
Investments that could be in jeopardy if DACA is terminated. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.